See, when you're saying hello, it sounds like it's positive. There's positivity around the word hello. There's nothing positive, one, about this story, or probably either, about how any of us are feeling.
Facts.
Right now.
It's the ghost of who's about to be mentioned. You know what, actually? I'm putting it down to that.
Yeah. And honestly, depressed pool. I feel like this is going to be one of those episodes. Like, we're actually going to be...
Honestly, like, you haven't heard this level of depression since season one. You actually haven't, so...
Oh, no. We're really bad.
Yeah, we started off depressed and now we're about to go through some of the most depressing fucking material we'll ever cover again.
I've got a cramp already.
Like in your brain or in your side or like just body cramp in general?
No, weirdly, in my vagina, but as in like...
Oh my God, it's trying to sew itself shut like, because of what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, it's like, do you know what it is? It's like a womb cramp. Not that I've ever felt anything like... Like, nothing has grown in my womb.
No, but, like, your womb does be shedding all the time, so.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah, one of them things. It feels like a period cramp.
That's fair.
And I'm not you at all, so I've just got a random cramp, and it's only started since I've pressed that bright, irritating fucking record button.
Genuine.
Has only just started, so I feel... Ah, see, no, it's fucking... I should roll off for real.
Yeah. Literally, I was saying it to Liz before we hit record on this podcast that I should be fucking buzzing today. I should be full of energy. I should be happy as shit. I am finally off after the longest fucking week of work in my life. And by week, I mean 9 days. And I'm just over it. Yesterday was the classic, like, you know, you're about to go on holiday. Because I'm on like a mini holiday now. I'm off for 5 days. And you know, before you go on holiday and work, you have to fucking work for it. It's always the worst day of your life. That's what happened to me yesterday.
Yeah.
I turn up at fucking 2 o'clock. My shift starts at half. I show at about 2:10, I'm showing up. And there's just a fucking line of cunts. There's people from other departments in behind the bakery trying to help. Half of my shit is empty. The rest of it is fucking dirty. There's shit all over the floor. I'm like, nothing got done. I had the worst day, but I got it all done. I was all proud of myself. I was like, I'm off now. I can be off. Everything's great. Woke up this morning. Couldn't want to kill myself more. For no reason.
Ew. No, I get that.
Oh, and yeah, as we said, our Liz is in the same situation and now we're about to do this, so.
And before my mum listens to this and has a fucking heart attack, I am fine.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough, I am actually fine. Was I in the pits yesterday? Oh, absolutely. But there's genuinely nothing wrong.
No, it's the unexplained pits. You're just in it. You can't. It can't be helped.
Yeah.
We'll crawl out eventually.
I don't want to get the text. Yeah, I will. I'll scrape myself back up. No, I don't want to get a text like, what's wrong? Do you need to talk about it? No, because I'm actually fine.
No, 10 out of 10 will vex us more if you ask us what's wrong, because we don't know and now we're pissed off that we don't know.
We don't know. So, love you so much, but
yeah,
I'm fine.
We're fine. We're just angry. It's just let it be that. What a fucking day. But yeah, and of course, on the terms of inconvenient timing, you couldn't have asked for it at a much worse time because it has to be on this episode filled with fucking hatred and murder. But I would like to give a shout out to one of our new and most dedicated listeners, Lauren. You know who you are. Obviously, I'm not going to give last names or anything or any context who this is.
Yeah. Bye, Lauren.
But Lauren, in fairness, maybe don't listen to this episode, love. Like, because...
you can skip. Not that it'd be much better next week, but we're in the pits.
Yeah. And like, this is just truly, like, this is just straight murder. We have no jokes for you this week.
Oh,
we have...
I'm too sad to make jokes as well.
Honestly.
Fuck.
There is maybe 2 points where I slag him, but that's it. Like, everything is just really depressing. So I would say maybe give this one a miss, but it's lovely that you're here. We love having you as a listener. Yeah.
And enjoy what you can from it.
Oh, Christ above. But yeah, shout out to Lauren. We love you. I have filled Lizzie in all about and who you are and she loves you now too, so.
Then.
Do we have any, like, obviously we know we're trying to save some levity for the end of the episode, so hang around for that because we will try and claw your souls back for you.
Yeah.
We promise.
I've got,
just some wholesome real life stories. But have we got anything that's like less depressing before we get into this?
Well, I don't know. I'm home in a month in around, so I'm excited for that. He is one of my kids. Like, I honestly feel like I could be like his second man. Like, they all say he's my son. He's going to big school, breaking my absolute heart. So he is. He came dressed in a suit into school to give me the biggest bunch of flowers I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I'm gonna get upset. Fuck.
Then take notes. This little fucking five, six,
three.
This little 3 year old is outdoing you. Take fucking notes. Look at it. In a suit. Friggin' flowers.
Honestly. And then when he was leaving, obviously, like, I was, because he's going on holiday, so, like, he left earlier than before school was finished, but then he's going to big school, so I'll never see him again. I'm devastated. And was it when he was leaving, like, obviously, I was, like, bawling my eyes out crying. His mum and his dad, right? Pure skitting. They're like, oh, so cute. And I was like, stop, it's not cute. I'm so upset. They take a picture of me.
No.
And I said, you can tell I've been crying. I was like, they have done me so fucking dirty. And then as he was leaving, he was like, Daisuke. So he was telling me he loved me. And I was like, what is that? Oh. It was just so cute how he came and he was so excited to give me the flowers. He wouldn't let his dad. Like, I couldn't even walk to the metro to carry the flowers because they were so fucking heavy. But like, he wouldn't let his dad. He's like, it's okay, I'll do it. I'll give it to Miss Lizzie. And then I was like, do you want help with that, darling? Because we have to walk up steps to go into like the main building.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, help. And he was like, but I'll hold. So I had to like break my back leaning over because they were practically dragging on the fucking floor. Traipse up into my classroom for him to walk in and to be like, I got Miss Lizzie flowers.
That's
I'll actually send
amazing.
You a picture. I'll send you a picture like just on our chat because I'll send you the one of him giving me the flowers. Like nobody else can obviously will see this, but just so you know for yourself so you can see.
Yes.
Why?
I also
want
to see the ugly cry. But I also think like that's such an amazing little memory for him to have later on in years. Like when he's like fucking 24 looking back and he's like, oh fuck, I actually do remember Miss Lizzie. Because like I remember teachers from when I was that young. Like I remember my fucking...
I remember my play school teacher.
Yeah. So, and like, if they're good enough, they have a big impact on you. So, like, I still to this day think about my second class teacher. Like, she's probably long dead, God bless her. Yeah, Sister Mary. Fucking loved her. Candy floss haired old woman. Even when I was bawling crying when I left second class because I had to leave her class. I was still in the same school as her and all, like. But I was bawling crying. And when I was in third class, then I used to go back and visit her because I missed her. Because I didn't like my third class teacher.
That's fair.
I eventually bonded with her. Shout out to Miss Halpin. But
I love that.
She was no replacement at the start for me for Sister Mary. Like Sister Mary was ride or die. So like you're probably going to be that teacher for some of these kids.
I hope so. But like I think it's just, like it's selfish for my part because I'm like I want them to remember me because I love them so much. You know what I mean? But like if they don't, they don't. But one of like I'll just say another cute story. But this isn't a cute story for the end. I have an entirely other one. It's like that. My kids are just so fucking cute. His mom was telling me that, like, because he's a very, like, clever kid and he's, like, very inquisitive. So he's like, oh, like, what did he say to his mom? Why does auntie love uncle? Like, because I think they live in, like, a shared house. So, like, they must be very, like, openly, like, lovey-dovey with each other so that, like, the kid has paid attention. And his mom was just trying to say, do you know, like, if you really care for somebody so much and, do you know, if they make your heart feel nice, that you love them. And he turned, his mom told him, he was like, I love Miss Lizzie the most. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I've been shot. I was like, oh, fuck. I'm fucking dead. And then he's also going to big school. So I won't see him, like I won't see him again either. And his mom, he had like an open day yesterday and he was crying that he didn't want to come back. He wanted to stay in his new school. So I said to him, I was like, you don't love me anymore. He's like, no, I do. He was like, I like my big school also. And I was like, darling, that's brilliant. And I was like, and he was saying, do you think my teacher will play with me? And he told me his teacher's name. I was like, you tell your teacher that he has to play with you. I said, or tell him I'll go kick his butt. And he started falling around the place laughing. And when we went outside, he told his mom. And his mom was like, you'll always be his first love. And I was like, stop this. I was like, stop fucking now. Bawling my eyes out. I swear to Christ, it hurt me so much.
No wonder you're in the pits.
No wonder I'm in the pits.
You've just been broken up with by like 27 kids. Like,
that's what it feels like because I feel empty. I'm like, all my children have left for war.
Genuinely.
I've seen them again.
It's fucking Angela's ashes, but like the Dubai version.
Jesus Christ. No fucking wonder.
Oh, okay. And now we take the horrible, sharp fucking neck-breaking right turn from wholesome children
to dead ones.
I actually didn't know how to phrase it, but that is literally what we're doing. Like, literally murder children. That's what we're going to. Wholesome, yeah. Lovely children with all their lives ahead of them, having a great start thanks to Miss Lizzie, to kids who had it all ripped away from them by this fat fuck.
Fat cunt.
Fucking John Wayne Gacy part two.
Oh my God, how the fuck?
What?
My picture has been mounted onto my wall for the last, I don't know how long. Near 2 years at this point. Was fine this morning, haven't been near that side of the room. Why is the frame crooked? Is it because we mentioned a certain cat? The thing
it has to be.
Like going to fucking
it's run. Like the flies. The flies are gone, by the way. So even the theory of them being like breeding and so, that's obviously not it because they're gone now. It was 2 days and over. And like, according to Google, this goes on for a period of time if it's cluster flies. So like,
for context, Savannah has had what seemed like a death parade of fucking flies.
Genuinely.
In her garage.
Like corpse loads of flies.
Yeah, like you'd expect this if you cracked open a casket. Or do you know that scene in Amityville Horror where the priest goes into the house and there's all the fucking flies?
Yeah. That is
never ending.
Exactly the fucking thing that I had in mind when I walked out into the swarm the first day. Like
where's that little bitch Jodie? Where's she going to pop up her little fucking bullet hole in red?
Demons.
You know what I mean?
So now you've got the crooked fucking things. We got the ghost orbs the last time on the fucking video. We're getting all sorts. We're slowly gathering proof. We just can't fucking post any of it because none of it makes sense without context.
I'm not arsed with this. Really and truly.
Honestly. I haven't even dove in and we're already fucking getting it, like.
Sure.
I wouldn't
might
even
as well
write
rip the
band-aid
off.
In my fucking notes. I know when I meant to say it. It's just not written in my notes because I couldn't bring myself to write his name down. It's also, it's in the same notebook as this. This is the original. I'm just rambling now. It's because I don't want to start this podcast. I'm very sorry. This is the original notebook. As in when we first started our fucking podcast notebook. This is the notebook.
I still have my one at home as well.
So that means that smelly bastard is in here.
Oh, Savannah, don't go searching for him, please. And
oh, I'm not. But I think it's just very fitting that now the very last notes that I've written in here, because it's literally to the last page of this notebook now. Is John Wayne Gacy.
If anybody, I'll just spoiler, DC Shithead is who we're referring to. And if you can't figure that out, well then...
You'll get to it anyway later in the episode when I physically vomit on air from trying to say his name. Or at least the idea of his name. What we refer to him as the on the podcast as. Or what we slag Cuiva for referring to him on the podcast as. 8 million times in a row.
That made me laugh so much.
Honestly.
Quality.
One of the true moments of levity in that whole series. Okay, fuck it. We're just going to get into it.
Yeah.
So let's dive in.
Splish.
Okay, so when we last left off, John was freshly divorced. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, I will switch to just calling him Gacy because there's a lot of victim Johns and I feel like they deserve the respect of having their first name and not
That's
him.
Fair.
So I switched to Gacy halfway through. But for now, he's still John. Actually, no, it's in the exact next paragraph that I immediately switch. But anyway, so he was freshly divorced. His wife had finally left him. And he had so far gotten away with 3 murders. So he thought to himself, might as well do a few more, sure, for the crack.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Just, like, loads of people speculate about it. Like, was it actually the wife leaving him that pushed him over the edge? Or was it the freedom of the wife and the sisters not being, or not the sisters, the daughters not being in the house anymore, that just gave him permission to do it.
He was doing it while they were still living in the house, even though that they were separated, but like once they finally piss off and leave, sure.
Yeah, because it literally, it goes from, less than a murder a year to like 4 or 5 murders a month after this. So
fucking insanity.
Yeah. Like, for such a big ramp up, that is actually not unusual in serial killers, but it's weird how quick it happened. Like, how far apart his murders were for 3 years, and then all of a sudden to have so many
on the gas.
Yeah, like, it's fucking insane. So, when I say this fucking prick ramped up, he ramped up. He thought that this time, like, when he's deciding to ramp up as a serial killer, he simultaneously, and I mean, realistically, these two fucking things go hand in hand. They're basically the same career. But he thought he would ramp up his political career again.
Yeah, psychopaths, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And he thought, this is the moment that I redeem myself from the fact that I'm a smelly little sodomizing rapist.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone knew about him in the JCs and everything else that he was doing. Like, he lost his whole reputation because of the rape charge, the sodomy charge.
Yeah.
And he thought he could just rebuild that.
Like, if I distract them, they will forget.
Literally. But you know what, Lizzie? We're taking the piss, but that's exactly what he did. And it fucking worked!
See, people are stupid. I see really into the general public. I need to stop swearing as much, but fucking Christ.
Honestly, this is a swearing episode because there's no way we're going to be able to hold the Irish tongue on that. Like, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Try to be reserved and polite and kind.
But literally, we're not even a paragraph in and it's already full of rage because it gets worse. The reason it worked is because he'd done so much community service for young men in the area.
The ones that he wanted to...
Not only wanted to, was actively.
Ooh, actively.
By whether it be by like proper fucking rape or statutory. He was still raping these boys, like. But no, he was an upstanding member of the community. And now, with all of his work for sick children as Pogo the Clown, well, sure, Jesus, wasn't there one of the political bigwigs in the area? Mighty impressed with Pogo the Clown to the point that he recommended fucking John Wayne Gacy as the Secretary Treasurer.
Like, surely there has to be a board discussion about this. Like, right, lads, he's done all of this work for children's charities. He visits sick kids in the hospital. He's done great work for the JCs. Was even working, doing community hours while he was in prison. Why was he in prison? Oh, yeah, raped a child. Anyway, we move on.
Haven't we all?
No. Like...
How?
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Yeah, literally.
You're appointing to him to this position. What are you talking about? Surely you could probably go down the streets and just pluck somebody random off it and surely they'd probably be better fitting than this cunt.
Honest to
morally,
God.
Morally, 100%. Because you can't get any worse than him.
You literally would have had a better time fucking picking up the winos that Pee Wee Gaskins was harassing and they would have done a better job.
Would have been fine.
Literally would have been a safer bet.
You know what I mean?
And this is what I mean. At least the likes of Pee Wee Gaskins had the fucking decency to be going around pulling shite like that while he was on his murder spree so that we had something to fucking laugh at.
Exactly. I can respect that.
Exactly. You're going to go and put a siren on your hearse and go arrest the winos pretending to be the police. That's fucking hilarious. Barrel-rolling yourself out into the fucking rubbish as a means of escaping the police. Fantastic. This cunt didn't even, like, attempt at getting caught. It was just... It's just straight murder, like. There's no... Fucking even Panzeram had the fucking decency to burn down churches. Very upsetting. But no, he's rekindling his fucking political career along the same time as ramping up his murderer career. So we love to see it, I guess. And while all of this was going on, while he was trying to paint himself as more of an upstanding member of the community, he found himself his next victim in 18-year-old Daryl Sampson. So, Daryl went missing on April 6th, 1976. His mother, Dolores, knew something was wrong immediately when he didn't come home that night because she said, Daryl comes home every night. He didn't come home tonight. That's it. That's enough for her. Like, she knew immediately he didn't come home tonight. He comes home every night and there's something wrong.
People know their own kids and it's always so frustrating when they're told otherwise by, like, police that have no clue. Inkling of what the child is like or... How they behave, how they operate, they always kind of put them into one fucking circle. I'm like, okay, well, no, he's a young lady, he's probably run away.
How old is he? 18? Oh, 18. Sure, he ran away. Why are you ringing me? Like, he's run away. Why are you worried about him?
He's a man now.
The fuck, like. She did. She rang around all of the, all the police stations in Chicago to try and notify them of him being missing. And then this one went one step further. She contacted police in every state surrounding them that she thought that he might have ended up in. If she thought, like, if he has run away or if he's gone somewhere and he's, like, not able to get a hold of me kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then I'll find out where he is. Yeah. So she was trying and trying. But every single one of them, they just... said, like, he's a runaway, like, there's nothing we can do about it.
Look, that's what you can do.
Fucking figure out his last known whereabouts and see, is there any connections to other disappearances in the last fucking year? John Wayne Gacy seems to come up a lot.
Wasn't he also in prison for sodomizing a young boy?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Ah, can't be him, though.
And has been ostracized from his former clubs.
Mm-hmm.
From said predatory behavior.
Oh, but he's the secretary treasurer now, so it can't be him.
No.
Upstanding member of the community. He used to have a wife and children.
Because leopards do change their spots. I don't know if anybody told you this. They do.
Yep.
Totally clean man now. Totally fine.
Absolutely. Went from a leopard to a house cat. Nothing wrong with him.
Yep.
He was labelled as a runaway, as I said, but Daryl was already underneath Gacy's floorboards. And we don't actually know what happened to him because weirdly, like, even though he owned up to the murder, he won't talk about what he did to Daryl.
Oh, shit.
He won't something talk about then. How Daryl died. So
he must have done something fucking horrific that even he can't come to terms of what had happened.
Yeah, he was definitely trying out because this is like we're right in the period where he was just settling into his technique for how he killed people. And he definitely tried something horrendous that even he was I'm like a bit much.
Where's my emotional support, Youngie? Hang on.
Yeah, you're going to need it. Because I will list off exactly what he did to all of his victims, like what his routine was with them.
Wow, so excited.
It happens once and that's it and you can live with it. But honestly, it's fucking stressful.
Because it's just copy and fucking paste then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is 100% just copy and paste after that. But yeah, and there was nothing left on the like Daryl's remains when they were found in 78 to even tell police what had happened to him. Like, the only thing they found was that he had been, like everyone else, he'd been plugged up with socks.
Socks.
To stop him from leaking. That was it. That was all they could tell. Like, and that he had spent his last moments in John Wayne Gacy's house. Other than that, we couldn't fucking tell you what happened to Daryl that night. But we can make a fucking guess at it, based on what happened to the rest of them. Because he'd gotten away with a ratio of almost a kill per year, as I said, he thought, I'm clearly untouchable. So after he killed Daryl, he picked up a new victim 6 weeks later. And this is just the start of the ramp up.
Can I just say something that's very distracting? It's honestly really not related to the podcast at all. I'm trying to disassociate so like I don't have to. I know I have to be present and listen to this, but I'm really, really scared and I'm terrified. I've just noticed we could go as Daphne and Velma from Scooby-Doo for Halloween.
Oh my God.
You have your ginger hair going on. I have my dark hair and bangs going on, my little fringe.
We just need you like an orange polo and a brown miniskirt and me.
You're
like
already wearing purple and green.
Literally.
Even in this moment.
I'm literally already wearing purple and green. We'll ignore the fact that I'm a 27-year-old woman sitting here in dinosaur pajamas.
Sana, shut up. Stop airing yourself like that.
I'm not even nice ashamed. Pajamas. These are comfy as fuck pajamas, honestly.
And they're cute.
They are cute.
I say that in Brachiosaurus.
Look at him. Doing his thing. Oh, the dissociation. Oh, serious mode again. Okay. No more dinosaurs. On the 14th of May 1976, Gacy picked up 15-year-old Randy Reffitt on his way home from a dentist appointment.
Oh, Randy, awful name, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the double letters just never fucking do it for us, but we'll
sorry, Randy.
Let him have it because he's 15 and murdered.
So. Oh, no, I'm not making fun of Randy. No, I had to share it.
But it's weird because later on in that day, like a couple hours later, we don't know exactly what the time window was. He picked up Randy's 14-year-old friend, Sam Stapleton. So we're getting a lot of like synchronicity going on in this fucking episode. And it happens again later with the number 19. And I don't know what that's about.
Oh.
But yeah, so he picked up Sam Stapleton while he was walking from his sister's apartment towards home. And I don't think they lived very far away from each other. Like I'd say the sister lived like a couple of streets away from his house.
Oh my God,
so he wasn't going very far. And same with Randy. Like Randy was only going from the dentist to home and just wasn't seen again afterwards. So again, this is like the early ones that he doesn't really talk about all that much. So he didn't really talk about how they died. He didn't like disclose if he killed them together.
Right.
If
okay.
he killed one and then killed the other a couple hours later when he picked him up. If it was just two in one day or if it was two at the same time. Mm. From what I can gather, it was just two in one day. But I can't say that with any certainty.
Right, so, okay.
There's that. The only thing they could again figure out was that Randy died of asphyxiation, choking to death on the gag in his mouth. And Sam was strangled and then the two were buried together in Gacy's victim pit.
Oh boys.
So that's it. But to me that kind of sounded like Randy died before he was meant to.
Yeah.
That he probably like panicked, vomited, choked and died.
Yeah. Like seeing what was happening to the other fella.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's even presuming they were together. But I thought maybe like Randy died too quickly. So that's why he went out.
He went out and got to, oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't sure, but like, because again, it doesn't seem like these two did anything for him because it was the 3rd of June. So yeah, 14th of May and the 3rd of June before he killed again. So it's like 2 weeks later. He's already decreased by 4 weeks, a whole month of how long he was waiting. So it clearly wasn't doing it for him anymore, as like much as it was holding him off before. But yeah, so that was just my thoughts on it, because this is the first of what he then calls doubles. So I thought maybe there was a reason for it. But again, I don't know. And I don't know if anyone knows, or maybe it was just my source didn't know.
Yeah.
But I've never actually heard about... Yeah, so as I said, he barely waited at all after killing those two boys before going out to find his seventh victim. So we're already up to seven. That was 17-year-old Michael Bonin. And he disappeared on the 3rd of June, 1976. He was a carpenter. Oh, this is so sad. And he'd been refinishing an old jukebox for his uncle. And he was on his way to meet his uncle at the time that he disappeared.
Oh, darling.
So the jukebox was due to be finished that weekend. We'd have to look up what day the 3rd of June was, but I assume it was during the week still.
Yeah.
And so he was going to meet him probably to be like, oh, I've almost got it done for you. You know, we'll arrange to meet on such and such a day and you can pick it up. And yeah. You know? And yeah, he never made it to meet his uncle and he was never seen again. Again, we don't know how Gacy got him into the car, but he got him into his car. He lured him into his car. It could have been anything. Like,
well, I wonder, did he do the police siren thing? Remember he used to put the police siren on top of the car to like corner young lads into like...
Yeah. And yeah. He used his bogus fucking sheriff's badge to pretend he was the police. So could have been that. He could have used the police ruse, which wasn't fucking very good. It could have been the sex for money thing. Or it could have just been a like, oh, I've got some work for you.
Oh, yeah.
Come and we'll get this cracked out. You can
have
your money.
Here's my business card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're a whole heap of young fellas work already. And I'm already kind of known amongst people of your age for being the one who employs you all. So any of those things could have been a check for how he got him into the car. But he got him into the car. He also could have just done it by force. He did just force some of them in as well. Like, he did just straight kidnap. But yeah, so he got him into the car, got him back to his house, and did the usual. Strangled him, buried him under his guest bedroom. And this, I also don't know if there's significance, but I feel like there is some significance of how much he liked a victim and where he would bury them in relation to like where they are in the house.
Okay, fair enough.
Some of them that I have more details on, they're buried in places like the guest bedroom or the master bedroom. And then other ones have less quote unquote important places, like under his office or like just in the crawl space underneath the hallway kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that carries significance, but it seems like it does.
It most like it most.
Yeah. It looks like it has to.
Because to bury a body, especially like in such an intimate place like your bedroom, like it's so personal.
Exactly.
Why would you keep them there?
If not to have them closer to you than the other victims that you like didn't really enjoy as much, or you didn't like them as much, or whatever it was that got them off with them.
Are you picking your chest now because you're anxious and you don't want to be reading the story?
Yeah, very much
so. Stop it because you have a
red mouth. The big red blood? I know. I'm trying not to do it to my arms and like and my whole face is getting itchy and everything. Like,
I know, I can see your bounce between scratching your brow and then picking your chest. I can tell how much you're hating it just by looking at you like...
Severely irritated, God bless me. Yeah. It's because as well I'm getting close to the point where I have to actually break all of this down and I'm just... It's a long haul until I get through it. Anyways, June 13th. So what, 10 days later? Again, increasingly smaller fucking window. June 13th, 1976, Billy Carroll vanishes from uptown. Now, Billy is one of the ones that we could say had got kind of the less dead fucking label slapped on him.
Oh, shit.
Billy was a bit of a shit. And so because Billy was a bit of a shit, even his family didn't worry that much when he went missing, because Billy just do be going missing, like.
Right, okay.
So, and as well, he was known to the police for being a bit of a fucking shyster, like... Not a real criminal, you know, he's a young fella who's
just
doing shit.
Shit.
Yeah, he's just a little shit, like, he's a nuisance, he's more of a public nuisance than anything else.
Okay, Billy, sounds like a country western singer.
Yeah.
Bet he's a lad that could play the spoons.
Billy Carroll, the public fucking nuisance, is a band I would go and see.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Yeah, because he was known to be a bit of a troublemaker and like I said, it was just poor street rat stuff. Like, he'd be robbing people or fucking, you know, doing dodgy deals and stuff to try and make money. Like, it was never anything big.
Yeah.
Like, one time, I still find this so fucking funny. One time, he was on a train and they were going past a fucking stop. They were going past the platform and there was a woman stood next to the platform. She had her handbag. He just stuck his hand out the fucking window of the moving train and snatched this bitch's handbag and just kept going.
You bastard, Billy. Billy.
Like, the fucking...
Oh, that's very Tom and Jerry-esque. Like, it's very funny.
Isn't it? I know. I thought that was hilarious. But then, yeah, then he did less cute things. Like, pimping young boys out to chicken hawks.
Billy.
Yeah. Which, can it... chicken hawks is never a term I've heard of in my life. But apparently that's what they refer to older men who liked younger boys. Or
yeah,
as we
why
call
they're
them,
fucking predators. That's why.
Yep. Chicken hawks.
Yeah, they're fucking predators. Jesus Christ.
That's somehow too cute of an... Like, all right, fair enough, like, hawks will eat chickens. I get that. But, like, it's still somehow too cute of a name.
It's absolutely not too cute of a name, Savannah.
For paedophiles!
Man, just honestly, chicken hawks, right, okay. What could that possibly mean? Immediately, I was like, this big, ugly, fucking ghastly bird snatching up a small chicken. Immediate paedophile vibes.
Fair enough. I mean, fair enough, yeah. I feel like it's just, it's still, like, it's too cute. Like, it's not that it's, like, cute in the term. It's too cute. It's too, like, dancing around it for me.
Fair.
Like, call it what it is.
But I suppose, like, code names and all that. It can't be like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to pimp the boys off to fucking paedophiles.
I suppose that's true. I guess. But yeah, no, he pipped out boys pretty much his own age.
I'm going to say something now, Billy. I'm starting to have a little less sympathy.
Just a scooch.
Right? No disrespect to the dead. But Billy, what did you expect? That this wasn't going to come and bite you back in the fucking arsehole when you were going around pimping out boys your own age to paedophiles? Did you not think you were going to have any karmic justice from this at all? I'm just going to say, I'm blaming Billy. I am not blaming Billy.
No,
for what
but
happened
it,
to him.
It is kind of a thing of like, how many did he hand off before he became one himself? You know, it's like, you don't know how many. Because we don't know the full extent of what Gacy did at all. We really don't. I'm sure of that. Like, so like, how many is there that like he maybe did he
but
didn't
even
bury
after,
in
like,
his fucking
all the other
space.
Sick fucks that like he has sold these other kids to.
Yeah.
Anything could have happened to them.
So, yeah, you do lose a wee bit of sympathy for Billy there. But listen, at the same time, it was kind of the 70s and street rats will do what street rats do, you know? If you weren't prostituting yourself to make money, you were prostituting other fucking people. So it's, in a way, an understandable evil. Because it's not like he was forcing them to do it either. Like, these were, in that sense, willing prostitutes that were going out to try and make money for themselves. And Billy just arranged the contact. They're just kids, yeah. They're just fucking kids, but like this is how it was in uptown Chicago in fucking 1970s. So it's just horrible all around. Like, it's not really Billy's fault, but at the same time, he was doing something fucking horrendous.
He wasn't helping it.
Yeah. But alas, for his sins, Billy got the trademark Gacy treatment. And once again, the police do nothing because, sure, he's only a fucking runaway anyways, so... Why would they bother looking for him? And sure, didn't it take 10 days for his own parents to even notice that he was gone missing? So what does that tell you? Why should we look for him?
His own family don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't even try. They didn't even give an attempt at looking for Billy. They were like, he'll show up if he shows up. And if he doesn't, kind of good riddance. That's one more nuisance off the street. Yeah. So that one is particularly shit. And then on August 5th, so I want to say we're still only like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. Yeah, June 13th to August 5th. Not that long. Gacy strikes again, picking up 16-year-old Jimmy Hackinson with the promise of work and a hot meal at a Greyhound bus station. Now, I thought at the time when I first read this, because there was no like description about what the Greyhound bus station was. Like, obviously it's just a bus station, but it's not. It's actually a very common place where young men would go to sell themselves. Okay. So anyone who was really down on their luck, like they'd go kind of to sell themselves for anything, you know, for work, for sex, for anything, just to try and get a place to stay and a hot meal for the night half the time. And then a lot of them would sleep there rough. So the Greyhound bus station was the perfect place for Gacy to find his next potential victim. And that's exactly what happened to Jimmy then. Because he got picked up by this fucking gowl bag who promised him money and food, things he couldn't get otherwise, and he immediately said yes. So again, not a lot of description on what happened. It's the same thing that happened to them all. He was suffocated instead of strangled, so he's clearly going back and forth on suffocation and strangulation at this point. And his remains were found underneath those of his next victim that was killed the very next day. So he just piled the two bodies on top of each other.
Oh my god.
And that next victim was 17-year-old Rick Johnston. And he disappeared on his way to a concert for a group called The Runaways.
Oh.
Which I thought, I can't handle the synchronicity at this point in the story. When he ended up underneath Gacy's floor, he was the one being labelled a runaway instead. And his next victim came shortly after, but we don't know, again, we don't know the exact time span when it happened, who he was, or what the fuck went down. All we know is that he was roughly 20, but to this day his remains are still unidentified. So it's only like basically the placement of the body in the death pit
will
say, okay, well, he was after these two. And we know these two happened in July and August. And here we go.
Oh, all right, give me a minute. Jesus Christ.
Oh, it all kicks off in August. Right, and I mean, it all fucking kicks off in August. Like, I'm already up to, like, I don't know, the 13th, 14th victim now. Mercifully, I don't actually have that much today because there's only so many murders I could do. So, you know, oh my God, we're already like 40 minutes in. Never mind. I thought we were flying through this. No, we're not. Okay, here we go. By August 1976, Gacy had perfected his murder routine. We're only going to do this once, so pay attention.
Yes, fucking sir. Jesus Christ.
I'm not going through this again. I'm not repeating it. I'm not bringing it back up. It's just, my God. He would find his victims in the shady parts of Uptown, as we said. We've already gone through where those were. With a promise of something or other, either work, food, drugs, or money. And then he would bring them back to his house in the suburbs. Usually it'd be one victim at a time, but after the two boys in one night, he got a taste for what he called doubles.
The only thing doubling is your chin, you fat bastard.
Honest to God. No, because I'm going to get to that point in a minute. And I'm going to, there's a reason, I can't get the imagery out of my head for what I'm going to say in a second. And it's because of the sheer size of him, because I know he started putting on that weight when he was in his mid 20s.
No, oh, he's huffing and puffing like a fat fucking pig sitting
on. Genuinely.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah. And what he does then is, anyway, we'll get there. So he then proceeded to fill his victim full of drink and drugs and get them nice and fucking relaxed, lower their defences and get them to trust him. And like everyone who knew him kind of said, well, of course, they probably would have trusted him because he was really friendly. He was really helpful. You know, he was giving them all these things. He was nice. He was funny. So they would have lowered their guard around him fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And then on top of being like drugged and full of drink and being like 15 to 20 years of age when your tolerance isn't that high for those kind of things. Easy. So once that phase was completed, he moved on to the famous handcuff trick. Now, I do believe you brought up the handcuff trick already in the last episode.
Yeah, well, Antonucci.
That was the one. So we know what the handcuff trick is. And for anyone who wasn't paying attention, he would basically just, yeah, he would tell them he'd show them he could get out of the handcuffs, then get them to put the handcuffs on and then be like, you needed the key. That's the trick. I hate him so much. And I hate him more for doing the handcuff trick because of why he does it. But we'll get there in a second as well. Once he had them panicking, once they realized they were in a compromising position that like he had the switch already done from like friendly get fucking John to Pogo, the serial killer fucking rapist, they'd be panicking. He'd get them like off kilter, flip them over and off their legs, and then immobilize them by handcuffing their legs by the ankles to a plywood board. And this is the part where I keep thinking about how fat he was and how fucking awful this must have been.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
He would then sit on their chest and force them to give him oral sex. Just horror beyond horror.
That fat cunt. Oh my, do you know what? It's I have such an awful image in my head as well. Like, I feel like I can see it into my fucking retinas.
Yeah.
And it's just him sweating and huffing and puffing like a big fucking pig that he is, and like lifting up his fucking sick stomach so he can watch it happen. As I hate him.
Honest to God. So that's what I did. Like, sorry to be this fucking vulgar, but honestly, you're choking on a fucking dick at the best of times. Like, even if you're doing it willingly, it is not an easy thing to do. And then to have someone sit on your chest,
oh my God,
and trying it from that angle, like, you're not. That's it. It's literally your.
I'm itchy all over.
I don't know how, but like somehow that's the worst thing that he does. Like, for me, in my brain,
it's fucking awful.
And it's the degradation of it as well from that angle. Exactly. And stuff. It's just, it's so much like in one moment of fucking disrespect and torture. Moving forward, he tortured them more. That was his next phase. So after the first sexual assault, which was forced oral sex, he moved on to the torture phase, which he loved. And he would torture them by, here we go. We're going fast. Burning them with cigarettes or cigars, making them act like horses while he rode around on their backs using a rope as around their neck as the reins. He would violate them with everything from dildos to pill bottles. Then he would make them crawl to the bathroom so that he could partially drown them in his bathtub only to revive them again. Then he would do the whole routine all over again. Rape, torture, drown, repeat. And if they begged him to just kill them, like anyone fucking would, he'd laugh at them and say, you get to die when I say you get to die, and he would drag the process out longer. Then, I didn't know if you wanted to respond or not, so I was just gonna push through for you. Go formulate your thoughts and then give me them.
I don't have any, only that I'm actually upset. Like, these are fucking kids.
kids. And like, literally, what the fuck did they do to deserve this? Like,
need to be ridden around like a fucking show pony by that fat cunt. Oh my god.
Because there's something that like just severely irks me. Like, it's why some serial killers are easier to cover than others, because they at least kill them quickly. They don't prolong their suffering as badly as this. Like, this is the worst thing you could do to a human being.
But honestly, as well, even going from like all the other awful bastards, including the big one that we can't fucking stand, that we mentioned, it wasn't drawn out like this, where it was literally three different stages that didn't have it be repeated.
And constantly repeated. Like, he would at least,
until he had enough, like,
put them in a box for a while. Like, I know it's not much better and like they're definitely still going to be terrified and stuff, but at least they got a fucking break before they were murdered. You know, they got at least the faint recognition of hope of like, I might survive this, I might get out. Like, they had something that was going to keep them going. These boys had nothing. There was no hope of survival. There was begging for death, and that was it.
I'm really upset now.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. And then he would tell them, this is the final trick, and that's the rope trick. Now, we haven't talked about the rope trick yet, and the rope trick is very simple. He would tie a rope around his victim's neck, and then he would tighten it by twisting a hammer handle around. So the more he twisted the hammer handle, the tighter the ropes went. Eventually, the victim would pass out and stop breathing altogether. I don't even want to question how long that would take.
No, because I was going to say, even strangulation is a drawn out fucking process. Like, it's not as quick as they make it out to be in like films. It's over and done. Like, yeah, that shit can take 10 minutes.
It's, yeah. And if you're only, if you're like it's more asphyxiation by pressure than it is actual strangulation, that it's like he's just going to keep twisting until slowly and slowly your fucking windpipe is crushed and your airways have cut out, so you're still struggling for breath for half the time at least, until he has it tight enough for you to finally fucking die. Just everything. And it just, it genuinely, it gets worse, because it doesn't stop after they've died either. Like, it's just the level of fucking weird shit continues.
I've got such a cramp. I swear.
We should have actually saved our pausing moment for after this next sentence, because I've just realised how bad it is.
Okay, go on. But
Gacy said that the part that gave him the most sexual gratification was if his victims convulsed for an hour or two before dying. Watching them
with her,
literally, like, with the death rattles on the floor, where they're getting seizures and stuff from lack of oxygen from the brain. That was the part that he liked the most. This is what I'm saying. I don't want to know how long the rope trick phase lasted. I don't want to know. Because if he had that best part was when they were like convulsing to death for up to 2 hours.
I hope whatever pit of hell he's in, he is being fucking filleted.
Honestly.
Every minute of the cunting fucking day.
Honest to fucking Christ. Like, if anyone deserves,
like fucking Vlad the Impaler used to do to his people. Honestly. Yeah. Every day. Continuously. I hope. Oh, I can't even.
How do you become this big of a piece of shit as well? We've been through it. The childhood isn't there for you to be this fucking bad. We move on. What else can we do? We fucking move on. He would bring them to his garage for a little DIY embalming. All of his little fucking mortuary experience would come out to play there.
You're fucking creeping and molesting dead bodies, prick.
Mm-hmm. And then he would lay them underneath his bed when he was done. And he would sleep in the bed above them for a day or two before he'd finally move them to the death pit underneath his floorboards.
Disrespectful piece of shit. Like, you couldn't even let them rest in death.
No. He kept them close to him until he decided he was done with them. The whole way. There was no, you know, some of them, they have like kind of, in their own fucked up way, love for their victim, you know. It's like, even who was it? Was it Raider? No, it wasn't Raider. Who was the cunt? He picked up the woman. He thought they could be something. And then it turns out that she was only obviously trying to sell herself for sex to try and make some money. And he was pissed off that they weren't in love.
Alaskan Man.
It was Alaskan Man. It was Alaskan Man.
Was Hansen? It yes. Because we didn't do pretty Robert sure. Picton.
No.
We haven't done him
no,
yet.
It was Hansen. It was Robert Hansen. Yeah, him. Like, you know, that delusion of like love for the body. Like, you know, and then they kind of keep the body around because they're like, oh, well, I actually really liked this one. Or like fucking Dahmer had his favourite heads. You know, something. But this, it doesn't seem like it was about that.
It was more power and control over like what he could do.
Yeah.
So he's definitely that kind of a sick fuck as well that believes that like whatever he did, like their souls would be tethered to his forever.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my God. Fuck yeah. Who was that? The one that like wanted to make sure that they were lamenting him in the afterlife. He was a proper delusional little bitch.
Yeah.
God, we've covered too many serial killers.
Because you know what it is as well, and I don't know if this is just like a strictly Irish, like, bear with me now, it's very long and convoluted, but do you know the way he was like heavily, heavily Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you go by what we do at home during wakes and shit like that, it's like you're meant to open up the windows because their soul has to leave, like you can't keep them.
Yeah.
So by him shoving them under his fucking bed and like into a crawl space, like, I don't know, is it some weird shit like that? I don't know. Am I just putting two and two together and getting seven? I don't know.
No, but it sounds weirdly right, because like embalming them, keeping them for 2 days and then bury them, he's waking them. I never thought.
Yeah.
I never fucking thought of that until you said it, but he is. He's waking them. There is so much that I need to know about this cunt that we don't know.
Oh my God.
But that's a fucking wake. That's a wake.
It is a wake.
Anyway. He also seemed to fancy himself a bit of a Sam L. Jackson. Because he would quote the same fucking Bible passage from Pulp Fiction to his victims before he killed them.
Now, sorry. Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
You're not murdering me and then preaching a gospel at me.
Right, but have you seen Pulp Fiction?
I have. I know the exact one you're talking about, yeah.
You know the exact scene, right? That's a badass scene.
It is. Fucking cracking.
And that's what he's trying to be. And that's the part that pisses me off. It's like he thinks he's fucking Sam L. Jackson holding a gun, quoting the Bible, scaring the shit out of fella trying to get information out of him. He thinks he's in the same fucking level as that scene.
But it's like...
He thinks he's a master criminal.
So
for anyone who hasn't seen Pulp Fiction, first of all, go watch Pulp Fiction. Amazing movie. Absolute classic. Also one of fucking Scientology's favourites, best roles. Fucking John Travolta really redeemed his career. So the quote is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, obviously, Sam L. Jackson does the whole passage and it's very like aggressive. There's screaming and stuff going on behind it. So it's a much more powerful thing. But to pick that particular portion of it, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and brings me to still waters." It feels like he's like picked all of his things like, oh, I'll drown them because that's the still waters, and making them lie down, sure, that's covered. My rod and my staff, that's my fucking...
Yeah.
Hammer for the rope trick and stuff, you know?
No,
and
exactly.
I shall fear no evil, for you were with me. I feel like he's referring to himself.
He is absolutely referring to himself.
And so much more fucked up. It's already bad enough that you're going to go and use the Bible in your murders. Not even religious, and I'm like, come on, you can't be doing that. But then to actually relate it to yourself as if you're the God that is laying them down in green pastures and walking beside them in the fucking shadow of the valley.
But I think that it's such a thing with him though as well, because it's like there's so many young lads that he had also, you know, did the handcuff trick on and then were just like molested and let go.
Yeah.
So it's like... He is picking himself to be that kind of godlike figure in a sense, because he's deciding if they live or if they die.
Right, definitely. And like the ones that overpowered him is like, oh, well, you beat God, so you get to live. I won't come for you again.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird, like. And I just, again, I went through the book. I've got the documentaries, other things. I haven't heard anyone talk about how much of a God complex this man actually had.
It was awful.
Or like analyze into these things. Like there's so many details just in what he did that show that this man thought he was fucking God. This is, we take it back. This is the saint of sodomy.
Yeah.
Fucking Christ. But mercifully, yeah, we're almost done. I've only got 4 more pages of notes.
Thank the Lord Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And now we just have to mention the last bit of shit that we didn't want to say, and that is that there's some similarities between this and the other case that we don't like to talk about anymore, and everyone can see that, and there's good reason for it, and it's because he admitted himself this fucker modeled his kill after the Pecan Prince. So while we're out here saying he's worse than fucking Corollas, fucking genuine fear of the name, hang on to make sure we're still recording.
Oh my God, yeah, me too.
Yeah, he modelled how he killed, who he killed, everything, the handcuff trick he took from Dean. So it's not even original. You're going to act like a god, but it's not even original.
You fucking poser.
Yeah, so that's where the similarities come in. And yeah, he was genuinely, he was trying to be him. He was trying to be the Candyman. He wanted that reputation for himself. But to do it even better, he did, like, he wasn't going to have accomplices that were going to turn against him. He was going to fucking outdo Coral in the way he did it.
It's not a fucking pissing contest so you can kill the most kids, you stupid. Oh.
Honestly, not just kill, but rape, torture, kill. Fucking. They also, the book made some connections between him and BTK, and I'm like, apart from like the same level of sadness, which I made the connection of last episode,
yeah,
I don't see a real connection between this guy and BTK. Like, they're completely different kill patterns, completely different motivations.
Yeah.
The only thing that's similar about them is that I'm the upstanding member of the community, I can't be a killer.
Yeah, they're just churchmen.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only similarity you can make. So to actually go through, and I am calling out the author for this, to go through paragraphs, fucking pages, never mind paragraphs, like 3-4 pages telling me what BTK did and how they were similar. Pointless, because they're not. You're making connections where there are none.
No.
That's it. Anyway, yeah. That's where his kill pattern came from. That was his kill pattern. This is how every boy would be killed from here on out. And this could last up until, like, they could be being killed from 3 o'clock in the day to 6 o'clock in the morning. So, and the neighbours were hearing this. It's not that nobody heard. It's not that it wasn't reported. The neighbours talk about how they would cry at night into their pillows because they could hear the muffled sounds of screaming and sobbing from Gacy's house. And they kept calling the police. And the police would come and they'd be like, are you murdering boys here? And he'd be like, no. And they'd be like, all right, sorry, you have.
Why are you taking his word for it?
Do you know?
When he has an actual conviction for it as well, I'm sorry.
Do you know what I mean? You're getting reports from his neighbours of what sounds like boys being murdered in the middle of the night in his house constantly. And you're saying nothing.
Sorry, as
you're
well.
You're doing nothing.
Imagine, honestly, just imagine for a second, you being that neighbour. And like,
yeah. What? And there's nothing you can do. Like, it's not like you can break into his house and prove that he's killed him. Because then that evidence is fucking inadmissible. So you can't do it anyways, even if you wanted to. Fucking awful. But yeah, he was being reported all over. He was being, actually, where am I? Am I in August? Yeah, August 1976. He's being fucking staked out by the police at this point. He's being staked out because there's so many times, like, boys who went missing, boys who were, like, molested and stuff coming forward, because don't forget, he's not just murdering at this point. He's still...
He's still raping.
He's still picking up boys, whether he's paying them for sex, but they're still, like I said, statutorily raped because they're underage, or... he's just straight raping them, handcuffing them, raping them. No hard feelings. Off you go. Go home. Say nothing to your parents. So it's not like this is the only crime he's doing in the murders. So they are. They're keeping an eye on him because eventually his name started cropping up an awful lot among the boys on the streets about, well, the last time I saw so-and-so was with a man called John Wayle Gacy, who works for... what was it, PDM fucking construction or whatever the fuck his company was called, which was plastered on the side of his truck that he was picking up his victims with. He was giving them all his full name. He was seen around by everyone. They all gave his full name in return as the last known person to have seen these boys, and the cops still did fucking nothing.
I hope whatever grave they're fucking rotting in, they feel the consequence of this. Because, like, yeah. I'm not being funny. It's not just a whole department thing. It takes one person. It takes one fucking person.
Literally.
To go in and literally. Be like, no. How many complaints like that, like you were saying, from neighbours have we had? How many young boys have gone missing? How many young boys that from his construction company have come forward to say he's attacked me? We know for a fact he has been in prison and has served time for a similar crime.
Yeah. Murder's just one step further from rape. Like, it literally is. It's just the next step. So why is it so, no? Because they always do that. They're like, no, he only does little petty sexual crimes. He's not going to be a murderer. As if, like, it's not the exact same amount of fucking grievance to traumatise somebody for life as to take their life away from them. Either way, you're taking a life, man. Either fucking way. So why are they separated like that? They shouldn't be.
No, they shouldn't.
But they were, apparently, because nobody fucking cared enough to actually go and investigate him properly. And while he was being staked out, they saw, loads of boys came and went, but, like... they came and went, so what are we meant to do about it?
Probably think of, can't arrest him for being gay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, icky. Because of all this, he was able to just continue. And by the end of that summer, Gacy had 10 kills under his belt. So we went from 3 at the start of the year to 10. He added 2 more between August and October, both white males, somewhere between 15 and 22, but whose remains were left unidentified to this day again. At the same time, on the 21st of August 1976, 18-year-old David Cram moved in with Gacy because he was in need of a place to stay. It's another thing. He worked for Gacy for a little bit. I think they met at the end of July, like July 29th-ish or something like that.
Yeah.
And they got kind of friendly. He worked for him. He started paying him. And then David really needed a place to stay. So he moved in with Gacy. The next day was David's birthday. So he was 19 then. And the two celebrated together Gacy style. Drinks, drugs, and Pogo the clown.
Because every 18-year-old wants after their fucking birthday, you creep.
But it's also like the wild contrast of drink and drugs and Pogo the fucking clown.
Like, imagine he's like, I'll be back in a minute. Oh, he there thinking, he's probably going to come back for more drinking.
He had to go and get into all the makeup.
And a red nose. What are you talking about when you're being... gang blue eyeshadow.
You know, this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, how long did it take him to do makeup, first of all? And like, what was fucking David doing the whole time while he was getting all fucking clowned up? And then what was his thoughts like?
The thing about his makeup as well, so it's like, apparently, now this has got to do with like clown philosophy or some shit, that like their makeup is always like circular and like oval patterns because it's more friendly and approachable.
Yes.
And then, but if you look at Pogo, it's all really harsh angles, sharp edges. So bad bastard vibes.
To be honest, there's very little mention of Pogo in my book. So like, I don't have any of that you know, the psychology behind his clown. Mm. But I did hear that before, that it's kind of like taboo to have the triangles and stuff because yeah. they're more severe. That's more like mime territory where it's meant to be more severe and emotional, whereas clowns need to be more approachable, so everything is rounded. And there was something else as well that they had to stop doing because it was like terrifying children. I think it might have been the big mouth.
No, they still do that.
I can't remember. To be honest, I'd have to look this up again. At this point, I'm just talking shite with no facts. But there is something else about like the way they did their mouths or something. They had to change it for the same reason. But I'm pretty sure did he have the big fuck off mouth?
He did, yeah, a big red one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is. And it is, it's genuinely, his clown is fucking terrifying.
And he's like, he crafted that. When he went to whatever that little club was, they didn't pick this for him. They didn't show him how to do makeup like this. He crafted this entirely himself. So it's like, he even went into that with ill intentions, because like, if we know this, we're not in the clown posse fucking world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like if you're going to clown school, it's one of the first things you're told. So he knew.
But again, it's like you said, he had two, and like Pogo was supposed to be the friendly one.
Exactly. So what the fuck was Patches like?
I wonder, can we find it? We'll try and find it. We will try and find it. But last, Pogo came out, fucking tried to pull the handcuff trick again on David. But this time, for whatever reason, he decided to handcuff him to the front and not the back. That way, he could swing David around by the wrists by holding on to the fucking chain in the middle of the two handcuffs as a grip. So he just caught the chain and started literally, like a fucking cartoon, swinging a cat. He starts swinging him around.
Hold up. You're telling me this fat bastard, what's that sport in the Olympics where they're doing the fucking, like Miss Trunchables, bringing that like little one around by your fucking pigtail?
Oh, what the fuck are they called?
What are they called?
Olympic.
Shot put.
Heavy, is it shot put? Heavy ball throw. I'm not the only one to Google it. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Shot put.
There we go.
You're absolutely right.
Playing that with an adolescent, Jesus Christ, can't speak. Adolescent man, child, fucking teenager.
No, apologies. The shot put is the single ball. The hammer throw is the one on the string.
It.
But yeah, he's hammer throw that, like, what the fuck?
Like, honestly, this isn't funny, but I can just imagine this poor child going like, like,
and
you know,
he's full of drinking drugs.
He's vomiting everywhere.
Fucking spiky face Pogo looking back at him.
How did that lazy hooer not put his fucking back out?
Honestly. Yeah, he's 31. That's bad back age.
He's bad back. He's excessive weight on him. What else is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's strong as an ox. That's because just
well, see, yeah, because he's got all that body lifting, fucking trench digging, fucking muscle, hasn't he?
Fucking shovel hands as well.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, poor old David, as a malnourished little 18-year-old, tired in his luck.
Oh, sure, he like a whippet, like, God bless him.
Yeah, probably wasn't much of him there. Could have, a fucking hard breeze probably could have taken him off, like.
Oh my God.
For saying all of that, fucking Pogo, because he's Pogo at the moment.
Sorry, the fact that he was doing his dress as Pogo is terrifying.
Honestly, it makes it so much fucking worse.
And I know he was laughing.
And it's why I...
Not poor David.
Oh, he was. No, he was. He 100% was. Like, it's mentioned that he was giggling. Same when he would tell them, like, this is the final trick, he'd be giggling. When he'd be fucking telling them, like, oh, you will die when I say you can die, he would be giggling. Like, he would be giggling all the time at them. That's the worst part of it.
The chair was too... Did he get the chair or was it the injection? Whatever it was, wasn't severe enough for that bastard.
Yeah. Honestly, it should have been, like, death by dissection.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Death by a thousand cuts. I would make him suffer.
Yeah.
I would pour bleach and salt water into each cup.
Absolutely.
Smear shit in it and let him die of fucking sepsis.
I literally can confirm how much it hurts if you get lye into an open wound.
Lye,
100%. Even to like, yeah, from the level of concentration that we work with is very low. Like, it's not going to melt my hand off if I touch it directly. So if that small concentration burns the fucking shit out of me when I have an open wound and I touch lye. Imagine direct lye, just direct lye into your cuts. Man, it'd be bubbling. Cook them like a fucking snail with salt.
Good. Absolutely.
That's what we want.
Delightful.
Yeah. Death by a thousand cuts and lye. That's what we want. That's what we're asking for. Thank you very much. We know nothing can be done about it now, but if anyone ever invents the time machine, take our idea.
Just let us know. Honestly, bring us along for the fucking ride.
Honestly, royalty free. You can have it. We're not looking for any credit.
No. Mm-mm.
Go for it. Take pictures at best. We don't even have to come with you. Let us know. But alas, he then told David that he was going to rape him. To which David said, "The fuck you will," and horse kick Gacy in the face.
Good man, David.
Good man, David. So Oliver say that he must have been a fucking sheet of paper in the wind. He clearly had something to him. Power in those legs he had.
Back legs like a fucking donkey. Delighted for you, David.
Yeah, but
oh God, no.
Common sense did our David not have.
Oh,
because he didn't move out. He didn't move out. He stayed living there for another month. And at the end of like that month, like towards the end of him being another month there, Casey appeared in his doorway.
Oh no.
And in the middle of the night, trying to rape him again. And this is like from him himself. He said, he told him, "Dave, you really don't know who I am. Maybe it'd be good if you gave me what I want." Which is essentially saying to him, "You don't understand that I'm a serial killer with now, what, 14 plus bodies under the floorboards. Give me what I want or you're going to be next." Yeah. But David said, "Get fucked, fat boy," and fought him off again. And Gacy left like a sulky child saying, "You ain't no fun."
What do you mean? He's not that... He doesn't want to let a pushing fucking pig like yourself molest him. What are you talking about? How is that any fun?
You ain't no fun.
How is that any fun? How?
Just let me rape you. Just let me fucking rape you. This literally reminded me of being 15, shifting a young fella, and him begging me to be, let him finger me in the bushes and I wouldn't. They let that... 100%, it's the same fucking thing of him being like, "Fucking frigid. Like, yes, I am. I'm 15. Keep your fingers away from my fanny." You know?
My God.
How are you going to be that fucking... Because a man will not let you rape him? Shocking. But whatever, I don't know what it was about David. Like, the fact that he didn't kill him is amazing to me because...
It's the same thing though with Anthony.
Yeah, it's because they balls like a Bengali tiger on them and fucking he knew he couldn't compete.
Yeah, but the fact that he'd got bested once by Anthony, right? And he didn't get the opportunity to again. He said, "Right, okay, no, I won't. I'm going to leave it because Anthony will fucking murk me as a high school champion wrestler, right? Gold medalist.
Yeah.
Little frail boy, David. Right, got the best of him. So maybe he was like, this is my first experience happening it where, you know, I could potentially have the better of him second time around. Because he knew he wasn't going to, he would have caught smoke with Anthony 100%.
100%.
But he was like,
But like, yeah, he might got away with like a second go on David.
Especially the fact that he was actively still staying in his house. But the fact that he bested him a second time was like, he's clearly the victor in this scenario. Clearly a better man than I. I'm just going to go whinge instead.
Just go drop it. Yeah, go have an old sulk in my wang tank.
Dig up a few of the bodies from the crawl space so I can have a look and move on about my day.
But yeah, so that's when Dave finally clued on. I'm like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. So he was gone before Gacy woke up the next morning. So thank God for that.
Thank God.
He eventually, like, he did interviews and stuff. So I'm sure there probably is an interview either written or recorded somewhere with David Cram. But I didn't find it. Almost through. So we're just going to push through the final part now. And we go to October 24th. 1976. Gacy picked up 14-year-old Michael Marino and his best friend Kenny Parker, who was 16. They had both gone to hang out at the Uptown Arcade together, which was unfortunately one of Gacy's favourite hunting grounds. Michael's mother never believed that he was just a runaway, as the police had told her that he was. Shock horror.
How many runaways do you have in a small fucking town?
But literally by this point, I want to say there's 11 of them just from fucking Gacy's company. Like 11 of them that actively worked for him that went missing.
Like, how stupid are you? This is what I mean. It takes one person. One fucking person.
And that has been proven again to go back to fucking Robert Hansen because it took one. There was two. Okay, fair enough. There was two. But it took one to meet the other one who was also trying. Like, there was one person in each department trying to solve that murder, and only for those two police it never would have been solved. Everyone else wanted to drop it. Every single one. So when we say the power of one is fucking mighty, we mean it.
I'm so mad.
No, there wasn't one singular cunt who gave a shit about this, like... But yeah, she spent the next couple of years until she actually found out what happened to him. She spent the next couple of years searching through drug dens, asking people if they had seen her son. Because like a 14-year-old, like, where the fuck else do you think, okay, he's fallen in with the wrong crowd, he's in drugs, whatever, you know? So she crawled through the drug dens and she spent pretty much the entirety of every penny she was worth on private investigators trying to find him. And obviously they turned up nothing because...
He was underneath fucking...
She always thought that he would come back alive. Even when the news about Gacy broke and all of the bodies were being found, like, she was like, oh, those poor people, like, their poor mothers, how must they feel? And at no point did she think that her son was in there. No point did it occur to her that he could have been a victim of Gacy.
Oh,
it was only when they found him under the floorboards that she found out that he had been strangled with his best friend Kenny. And now I had a little bit more information on Michael, but I have nothing about Kenny. I don't know if anyone even looked for Kenny.
Oh, bless him.
Which is really fucking sad because there's no mention of it. But surely. I feel like it's just because Michael's mother probably did a bit more that we're talking about her and not Kenny's mom or whatever. Just 2 days later, though, Gacy needed to strike again already. And this time he took 19-year-old construction worker William Bundy, who disappeared after telling his family he was going to a party with friends. It would be 35 years before anyone found out what happened to him.
Oh my God.
His body was identified in 2021.
2021?
2 fucking years ago we found out what happened to him. So that's not even, that's more than 35 years. From 76 to 21.
It is, yeah. Well over.
Yeah.
40, yeah, well over. 76, because my dad was born in 72 and he's 50.
Right, yeah.
So like what, like 47 years or something?
Whatever, over 40 years anyways, before they found out that it was him. And that was only because people started to care more now that we're in the true crime era. Like again, I kind of want to say this as a true crime podcaster, but people talk a lot of shit about like online sleuths and true crime podcasters and stuff, but it's because people like us exist that the police are starting to actually bother to go and look at old cold cases now and try and identify bodies that have been forgotten about for the last 40 years.
Yeah,
like literally it's only people on the internet that have motivated them to move their arses,
which is a bizarre concept.
Yeah, and I'm sure, yeah, there's a handful of people who cared and they want to do with this and you know all of that kind of thing, but realistically it's public pressure.
It is, yeah, because when you have so many people looking at you to be like, what a piss poor job you have fucking done, get it sorted.
Truly, like we give credit where credit is due, but how often is credit due? Fucking never.
Few and far between.
Genuinely,
I feel like honestly for how 103 episodes that we're on now, mm-hmm. I can count on one hand the amount of times that the three of us had been like, job well done, detective.
Days in police work.
One fucking hand.
At least you tried. But like, but I do also think this is a kind of one of the worst ones. Again, this is, it's this, it's the same as the other cunt.
Yeah.
Because we're in the same time period and stuff. But it's just so bad that the, how little they gave a shit. And how little they tried. It's unbelievable.
Too busy trying to prevent a drug epidemic. Or whatever the fuck they want to call it. Compared to boys that are missing.
Anyways, yeah, priorities were obviously in order during this time. Yeah, so it was 2021 before fucking William Bundy's remains had been identified. And he was found buried under his master bedroom.
Mm.
So he was a favourite of his. Yeah. And then we had Francis Wayne Alexander, who was murdered somewhere between November and December of 1976. And he was buried under Gacy's home office. And his remains were first identified in 2011. So still, all right, 10 years fucking earlier than the other guy, but still very fucking recent.
Yeah.
All of that was not enough for Gacy, so he had to get one more kill under his belt before the new year. Because, you know, new year, new me.
Sad.
That was going to be 17-year-old Gregory Godsick. And he had been hired with another teen to dig fucking trenches in Gacy's crawl space.
Whoa. Expanding, so are we?
I'm like, yeah. Essentially, he hired Gregory to dig his own grave.
The level of disrespect that is in that is fucking sick.
It gets worse because a friend of his at the time, I never wrote down the friend's name. I actually had the friend's name, but anyway, it's kind of unimportant. But his friend at the time said, Greg bragged about the job, saying it was the best job he'd ever had.
Greg.
And how nice Mr. Gacy was to work for.
Oh, darling.
So like, not only was he there toiling for fucking Pedo Gacy to dig his own grave, he thought he was having the best time ever. He thought he'd won the fucking actual lottery. He found a job that he really liked and he was making good money and everything was great. Which makes the next part all that more unbelievable, because we know what's going to happen. We know what I'm about to say. On December 12th, he disappeared after dropping his girlfriend home from a party. So they'd been to a party with friends. He has a girlfriend. He's making money. He has a job he really likes. Just gonna leave that list of positives there.
Oh my God.
Because
don't tell me the girlfriend was fucking pregnant. I'll actually kill myself.
Oh God, no. Well, she might have been for all I fucking know. But as far as I know, no. It's nothing like that. No, his parents called Gacy after he disappeared to see if he knew anything about it. And sure, Greg had told him that he was thinking about running away.
Well, it's like John Bukovich all over a fucking game, my Christ.
Yeah, it's literally, it is the John Bukovich story all over again. And he's like, yeah, no, he was here. He told me he kind of had enough. He was looking to go further afield, kind of spread his wings, run away. He'd had enough life. And not only did he tell him he was thinking about running away, but actually, after the fact, when he had run away, he rang me and he left me a voicemail telling me about the fact that he had run away.
Why would he not do that to his parents or his girlfriend? John.
Right? Why are you ringing John Wayne Gacy of all people to tell him that you've run away? You'd at least tell your girlfriend, if not your parents.
Yeah, any of your
like,
hands.
Sorry, Susan, we need to break up because I've actually left the state and I'm not coming back. Something. No, he rang Gacy. But when the family asked if they could hear the voice message, well, oh, shucks, excuse me, my bad, I must have erased it.
Oh, so you erased a very important piece of information that the child has given you that their parents might look for.
You know, sure, didn't think it was pertinent that an employee of mine that I was the last person to see alive has now run away. But
Oh my god, why the fuck did the camera zoom there?
No, because that's where the orbs came from in the video.
It is.
It's never done that before.
Never to
that's
that angle.
Horrifying. No, because it like it seems to zoom in on like faces. And
it does. No, because it's only ever zoomed in on you. It's never zoomed up in the coats. Oh god, now I have a headache. Fuck me.
We're almost done. Les, we are being severely haunted. I can't. I know it sounds like we'd be making this shit up, but like we are literally too fucking ADHD to be making this shit up on the spot, to be scripting fucking shit like this in.
I haven't the
obviously
effort.
We don't screen record. But if you could see it, like that shit just zoomed in into a face that was standing behind me. In the same place that we caught cold starbs on videos, but as soon as you try to send the video, the quality drops so much you can't see.
Do you know what it is? You just have
anymore.
To go into your settings on WhatsApp. Oh my god, it's done it again.
And closer this time.
You need to go into your setting on WhatsApp, and then instead of doing like, go down to like, I'll show you how to, but instead of having it on like automatic, you just have to hit like best quality.
Ah, you can set your quality. Okay, yeah. I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. Look at me learning new things about tech. We'll do that because that shit still needs to be seen properly. Like, I need to know I'm not insane and that those are 100% ghost orbs because I have no other expectation. It's not ghost. It's not dust. It's not what just happened.
I heard my bed.
No, like somebody sitting on it. All right, I'm taking that as our cue to just power through this, get to the nice stories and be done because...
Fuck off, I'm not in mood.
Yeah, honestly... Get the fuck out of here, mate. We're just trying to finish a podcast. Right, we're still recording.
Oh, let me check. Jesus.
Okay, we're powering through, okay, before this goes disastrously wrong. So by January 1st, 1977, we're on to the next year. Gacy had already killed 18 times. And that's how quick he killed, because did it feel like I had covered 18 murders?
No.
No, but yes, I did.
I feel like, honestly, 6.
Yeah, that's how quick he killed, because that's how quick I got through it. Like, that's
sorry,
fucking insane to me.
The way my laptop, I don't know if you heard that, but the power saving thing literally just came on. I was on, I want to say, just a tiny bit more than half a battery. I wish I was kidding.
We're going to ignore the fact that we know for 100% sure that when technology automatically just suddenly drains, that it's... energy fields in the area. We're just gonna act like we don't know that. It's fine. I don't even want to know.
I don't care.
No.
Fucking shit.
I don't want to know. No. Whatever it is, it's happening. We're ignoring it. Keep your spooky self. We move on. On January 20th, this is what I'm saying, right? So on January 1st, he's at 18. 19 days later, he wants to make it 19 victims with 19-year-old John. You know, it's like there's too much of the synchronicity of 19. Now, fair enough, I'm the one who starts talking about January 1st, so it's realistically my own notes fault that it's 19 days later he kills again. But it's weird.
What's the symbolism behind that?
His 19th victim is 19 and it's 19 days after the start of like his New Year's resolution is set kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like it. John has a fucky last name.
Oh, God bless.
I'm going to assume it's like Shizik. It's S-Z-Y-C. I feel like you would pronounce the S and the Z a bit more than like a just a ksh,
yeah.
You know? I know it makes that kind of noise, but I'm sorry if I'm saying his name wrong, but it's all fucking consonants and no vowels. What do you want from me?
You can only do so much.
So yeah, so John had like recently returned to uptown Chicago. He was kind of traveling around. He was a wee bit of like, not a vagrant, but like a bit of a traveling man, you know. He would just go around, do bits, come back every so often, see his family. He would stay with his sister, stay with his mom, stay with his friends, that kind of thing. And he'd come back and he was looking to sell his 1971 Plymouth Satellite. I feel like I know what that car is. I feel like I can see it. I feel like it has a lot of paneling.
Wouldn't be able tell you. The fact that has the word satellite in it, I'm going to assume they're very panelly themselves. I know that makes absolutely no fucking sense. But is that the one that has like the wood panelling on the side?
I feel like it does. I'm going to find out. Hang on.
Like the 70s shagging wagon.
Oh, you know what? It's actually fucking class. There's no panelling on it. This is a nice car.
Incorrect.
It's a nice little sporty bitch. Like fucking Knight Rider wouldn't mind her.
Oh. Like would you have to have a skinny moustache to ride that in the time? Like 70s.
Oh, definitely. Mustache. Definitely. This is like this is the 70s hot guy going around like getting his dick sucked with the fucking top down, you know. That's the vision I'm getting for this. I don't even know if the top comes down. I don't think it does. It doesn't, but it's still the vision I'm getting. There was definitely a convertible version of it. I sent it to you there. It's actually a really nice car.
That is a nice I was so right about the tiny moustache and the black turtleneck.
Right.
100%.
Aviators also.
Oh, that
is a shagging wagon. Right. Like, I feel like if I was a woman in the 70s walking around in my go-go boots and miniskirt, that man could pick me up.
Oh, he could.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, look at the size of the bonnet of that car. Bits were being done on that 100%.
Oh, 100%. I have no context of who John was, but I feel like John was just a sex machine, to be quite honest.
Yeah, man was top shagger. Like, there's no way he wasn't.
He was definitely a stud. 100%.
Wait.
Just based on the car he's driving. Back to fucking John anyway. So John's family immediately, again, they raised the alarm because they knew what he was like and this wasn't like him when he went missing.
Yeah.
They knew he was going to go sell his car, and after the meeting, like, he never came home. So they were like, what the fuck? They raised the alarm with the police, and a little while later, the car, now again, a little while, I don't know if that's referring to hours or days,
okay,
but a little while later, the car was found being driven by a young employee of Gacy's, Michael Rossi.
Right.
And he said that Gacy had sold him the car for $300, and if they needed to know anything about it, then go talk to his boss. So they did. And they asked him, well, Mr. Gacy, how come you came into the possession of a 1971 fucking Plymouth satellite?
Belongs to a missing child?
And he said, oh yeah, John sold me it. And then I sold it to Michael.
Why are you selling it so quick, John? You're in the business of politics and renovation. What do you know about cars?
Honestly.
Is this your new trade? I doubt it.
I'm sure he gave him some spiel of like, oh, Michael really needed a car, so like I went out and sourced one for him and I gave it to him on the cheap because I could afford to do that because I'm John Wayne Gacy.
Don't you know I performed to sick kids in a hospital?
Yeah, so the police said, fair enough, good enough for me. That's the end of that. They walked away, shook hands. Never thought there was anything more to do with this missing child and the man who just hours to days later had sold on his car. No. No connection whatsoever. They asked him no more questions and therefore never found out that John was strangled to death in Gacy's spare bedroom. On March 15th, John Prestige made a terrible decision while staying with a friend in Chicago. He was working in a motel to try and get himself through college for a healthcare course, but the money wasn't lasting, so he asked his friend to drop him off at a district in uptown Chicago, well known for male prostitution. So that way he could make himself a quick bit of cash, turn a few tricks, make some money, go home. When he didn't return, his friend called his family to ask if he had gone home to Kalamazoo. And they were shocked because no, they hadn't so much as heard from him. And they weren't going to either because he was already reduced to just another body in Casey's crawlspace. So he literally, he went out to make a tiny bit of money and he had the misfucking fortune of just immediately being picked up by a fucking serial killer. He killed again sometime in late spring, another unidentified white male between the ages of 17 and 22. All that we know about him was that his left clavicle had been broken. And again, this brings it back to the horrible, horrible detail.
Being sat on.
It was from the pressure of his chest being sat on. Again, it could be from anything. It could have been from bounced off the walls because he was swinging him around by the wrists. We don't know. But my best guess of what would be very likely is that. But that's all we know about him. We don't know name, age, where he came from, who he was, nothing. Then, after that kill, he took a break.
No.
And he tried to take a stab at the normal life.
Sorry, you cannot go back after doing that. What are you talking about?
I'm up to like 22 murders here. So
new year, new me, I'm just gonna check. No.
You know?
You are what you are. You're going to burn for that. You can't just do a one fucking 80 on the ground.
Honestly. But I think it was more so like, I don't think he actually really wanted to take a full break from killing in that sense. I think he was calming down.
Was he just knackered?
Yeah, the heat was getting a bit much.
Flesh was humid that time of year. Fuck off, will
ya? Yeah, because there was one candle burning in a fucking open flame, you know? So he thought, we'll let that candle blow back out now before we start tempting the police. And yeah, he tried to seduce another woman. And it briefly worked because they'd been engaged, but it was called off just as quick. And that was the end of that. By the 5th of July, so what, he stopped killing late spring. It's all I have. So let's call it March, April. April would be late spring. May, June, July. 3 months. It's not break, really.
My God.
People have gone on holidays so for longer.
He's taking the summer off,
Yeah. He took a season off. That was
I'm
it.
I'm sweating listening to this. I swear to God.
Yeah, that's how long he gave to trying to be normal and get a wife again and just like go back to having obstructions to his murder, basically. But no, by the 5th of July, he was back to his own self and he was off to kill again. And that is when he took 18-year-old Matthew Bowman, who had been dropped off at a train station to go to... He had like an appointment in court. He was up in court for fucking failed parking fine payment. That was it. He just had to go pay a fucking parking fine. He never made it to the court. His grandmother dropped him off and she never saw him again after that. Oh, excuse me. His mother dropped him off and she reported him missing then afterwards. But because Michael was kind of also the same situation as the last guy, he was kind of moving around a lot. He was staying like with his sister in one area and then he'd stay with her in a completely different town, a different jurisdiction. Then he'd stay with friends in other places in like Chicago, which is where he ended up, and so on and so forth. So basically every police station that she called went, that's not my jurisdiction, that's not my problem, call this one. And then the next one would say the same thing. And then the next one would say the same thing. And so basically it was nobody's problem because this boy moved around so much. So it fell under no one's jurisdiction, nobody wanted to bother with it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. When his body was finally found underneath the crawl space, the rope that was used to strangle him was still tied around his neck. And he took another 2 month break after Michael. He picks up again after that. And then we're on to 1978. So that's Caoimhe's problem. Or if Caoimhe can't record, it's fuck me, it's probably my problem again. Who knows? Yeah, that's as much as I'm willing to do for today. So that is the vast majority of his victims. We've got like, I think after Michael, what's that then? 23 it should be. So we should have like 10 more to go. A lot of them were also unidentified. So it's less of a slog next week.
And then you get to hear about, you know, the fantastic part where he gets fried to fucking bits.
Yep. When he's finally put down for his sins. But yeah, I want to say his capture story isn't all that satisfying either,
no,
though.
It's not.
As far as I remembered. It's very much like he got accidentally caught, if I remember correctly. But listen, we'll probably have some things to take the piss out of next week, hopefully.
We will. The fact that he's sizzling like the chicken he had for his last fucking meal.
Yep.
In this chair. Absolutely.
I wonder, is that genuine fact? Like, did he actually have chicken in his last meal?
Yeah, he had a bucket of KFC.
I hope you're right. Did he actually? Oh, he did. He did.
I think like a pound of strawberries. I don't know why I know this, but I do.
But their last meals do kind of interest me. Like, I did watch a whole YouTube video on last meals of like death row inmates and really famous ones, like all sorts, not just serial killers, but like notorious train robbers and shit like that. And some of them are fucking wild, like the shit that they order. And then other ones are really basic. They're just ordering like a Coke because they know they're not going to eat and stuff. Yeah. And then those ones are a lot more sad because some of them aren't like proper criminals.
I seen one and was it who the fella from the Green Mile was based on, like the real story of that. Like everybody knew that this man was innocent. Like the fucking warden knew that he was innocent, but like still he was sentenced to be put to death. So he had ordered like so much food and he said to the guards after, because I think he had like the mental age of like a 6-year-old or something like that, even though he was in his like late 20s, like he did not understand like what the fuck was going on. I think he'd been put to death for like the murder of like a little
girl.
Oh,
I know what you're going to say.
And he's like, I'll come back to finish that later. And like apparently the warden was like bawling, crying and like held his hand as he walked all the way to the fucking death chamber. It was so fucking sad.
And like there was no after for him and he didn't know. No, that was so fucking sad.
And was he like, his family come over from like Iran or something like that, so the fact that he was an immigrant as well, so God, he had to be a monster, you know what I mean? And the fact he had like the intellectual age of like a 4 to 6-year-old, horrendous,
definitely made him a murderer. Like,
oh, so sad. I can't remember his name now, but it's awful.
Yeah, but I know exactly who you're on about as well, but I can't remember either. But yeah, fucking hell.
I hated this, by the way. Yeah. I am miserable. If I wasn't before, would you fuck me? Sure, I am now.
Genuinely, we're having the nice little stories now, but I honestly, at this point, I'm like, fuck the nice stories. It's not even worth it. Let's just.
I don't care anymore.
We can't save this with nice stories of wholesome moments that happen to us in work. Like, we literally cannot. But we're going to try, and then we're going to say goodbye. So let's just go for it.
Do you want
to
go first?
I may. Okay. Well, mine is fairly short anyways. For anyone who's unaware, Germany loves Ireland for no fucking reason. Very much obsessed with us as a people, as a country, the whole shebang. Like, you'll hear it on every corner that, oh, you're from Ireland. It's my dream to go to Ireland. And meh, meh, meh. And my favourite thing to do is crush them by telling them what Ireland is really like.
Savannah, how are we ever meant to fix our economy? Tourism is the only thing we have going for us. Jesus Christ.
Ah! They'll go anyway. Plus, we've all the Americans who think they're part of us, so we don't need the Germans, realistically. So there was these two customers that I had in work, and they started coming to visit me, and obviously they asked, as everyone does, where the fuck is that accent from? Because I'm at a point now where I speak German well enough that you know I can speak the language kind of like, it's not, I'm not fluent, but like at a native level, if that makes sense. Like, I speak like how the locals speak. I don't speak in high German or school-learned German. I speak like I speak now in English, like the fucking... slang way or whatever. So they know my German's good enough, but they can't figure out where the accent is from. They know it's not, I'm not like German or Austrian. Or is she Swiss? Is she from fucking Czechoslovakian? Is she, who else do I get? Croatian, Dutch, or American?
I'm neighboring countries, kind of, but obviously not America.
Yeah, not America, a bit further away. But like, that's then obviously they clock that, like, I'm an English speaker. They can hear that in some certain words that I say. So then they all automatically assume I'm American. Nobody ever fucking guesses that I'm Irish, is my point. Because there's very few of us over here. So these two come in, they find out that I'm Irish after I tell them that I was Irish. When I say they lit up like a fucking Christmas tree, they wanted to know everything. They wanted to know what it was like in Ireland, why I had come here, everything about me, what my name was, the whole shebang. They were so fucking fascinated. So I started telling them all sorts about Ireland, and then I could hear them while I was serving them talking about the language. And now, fair enough, they got it wrong.
Gaelic.
Because they had... Yeah.
It's always Gaelic. Like, Alice, ask Gaelic.
It's always Gaelic. Yeah. I'm like, that's not us, first of all. It's Gaelic. And that's Scottish. It's not it's the wrong country. Yeah. But I forgive it because I'm literally no one outside of our little fucking nest of islands knows that for some reason. I blame the English. I feel like they hid it. They hid it somehow.
Fisherman fucking penal laws and all that shit. Do you write that in hedge schools? What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Well, literally hidden in the bushes.
Bad enough they tried to kill both of our languages, but then they convinced the rest of the world that they were the same one. But they're not. A Scottish man and an Irish man could understand each other if we tried it hard enough.
It's still different though.
But it's still very different. Yeah. Even like just the pronunciation of words like rua, which is like red, they're very different.
Yeah, they don't even have the same color or word for the color green. Like it's different.
No. I don't think so. No, it's not. Yeah, and I don't think they have the same word for blue either. Don't. But anyway, point being, I let that slide. Because he was a very nice man and I didn't want to be like, that's not my language. But I could hear him telling her anyways that like we speak primarily English, but that we also had our own language once and like it's not really used anymore, but that's Gaelic.
Goodbye, Wikipedia.
It's Irish, but anyway. Yeah, honestly. But I'm always that little bit touched when I hear like people who actually know a bit about Irish history and stuff. I've met maybe two people that actually know about the extent of what the English did to us. And I'm fascinated to talk to them because like half the Irish don't even know that. So to get it like in a random like little old lady who lives next door to my friend here was talking to me about like the 1916 rising and stuff. And I was like, Marie, you are a fucking scholar among gods here in your people. Like nobody knows this shit. How the fuck do you know this? Like, but anyway. So I'm always that bit nicer.
That's nice.
And I turned around and I was like, oh, you know, here's your order, blah, blah, blah. And I got everything ready for them. And then I was like, and just because I heard you talking about the language, I said, I'll thank you in Irish.
Oh, bless.
And obviously I refer to it as Irish. Yeah. And they kind of got the moment then where like he'd called the language the wrong name. And I just turned around and said, Gerd of me in a mahagut. And you'd
want
to
fucking see the movie. Well, you said that so incredibly German.
Yeah, it's hard. Because the sentence structure of Irish and German are very similar. Yeah. So a lot of the time now, if I'm trying to remember how things are said in Irish, or even just the word for it
like
in Irish,
said, German like, comes. As in like, how like Germans would say it. You'll hear it once.
I'm going to have to hear it back, because obviously I can't like replay it in my mind, but I'm sure it is.
It was very
It's
German.
Happening a lot with English words as well. It's very upsetting, because I feel like I'm taking the piss out of myself for being a foreigner. Like, or I'm trying to be more like German now, because I fucking speak it more than I speak English at this point. Not the case, it's just, it's genuinely invading my brain.
Which is fair.
And it's horrible.
I feel like that happens though when you know something. And then like you're just speaking most, like, especially fact when you're in work. Like.
Yeah, there's one person in work that I'll speak English with. And even at that, like, it's Denglish. We speak German and English, like, we don't exclusively speak one language because it's easier to refer to all the words in German than it is in English. It's weird. But yeah, anyway, point being, they lit up like fucking Christmas trees. I could have actually given them $1,000,000 and I don't think I would. They would have looked as happy.
Aww.
As me saying fucking girl me la mahago.
See, there we go, bang on. Savannah, see, that was proper. Listen how you said it the first time.
I don't even want to know how I said it on the day in work, because going from like German to Irish and back to German with my English brain, a terror. But yeah, they came to visit me 3 more times after that day to ask me more questions about Ireland, just literally just to see me.
Nice.
But there's been a load of stuff like that that's happened, but that one was like my favorite one because it's the only person I've ever like graced with actually speaking Irish to. So, yeah, so that's it. If you ever want a place where the Irish, because there's a lot of places where the Irish aren't appreciated, we're very much fucking hated in Turkey. Can I just say that? Didn't expect that. Yeah, we are fucking despised in Turkey. We're like, Turkey looks at the Irish like the Irish look at the English.
No. What do we do?
I would say it's probably the fact that, like, you know, the way the Netherlands hates the English now. Because they've kind of fucked up their tourism industry and made it all about drinks, drugs and fighting.
Yeah.
I think it might be the same situation in Turkey for the Irish.
Everybody goes to fucking Turkey.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, in fairness, they probably hate the English as well, but I'm not English, so I didn't get to experience what it's like for them. But I did get to experience what it's like for the Irish. And it's either you wear a big bag of money or you're fucking hated. Now, I was in, like, I can't speak for the whole country of Turkey, but from what I heard from other, like, actual Turks there, the Irish are not well liked. in the country.
Wild.
Yeah, and that, like, we were actually complimented for being sound Irish people while we were there, like, myself, Mam and Emma, because we were, like, friendly and polite. And apparently we're not known for being friendly. And that's so weird, because we're literally the number one country in the world for known for being friendly and polite. Like, we might cut you just as soon as we look at you, but not to your face.
So the face is all grace. Yeah. Honestly, I don't believe that.
It's so bizarre. So bizarre. Like, especially coming from a country where I'm almost revered as a god for being Irish. So fucking weird. Because then when people actually started showing me respect was when they found out that I lived in Germany and could speak German, because the Turks love Germany. So it's like, and then the other one is like, I'm constantly being called, oh, you're back with you're loving the Krauts, are you? Because I live in Germany, you know? It's such a contrast of how most countries view us. Like, normally Germany is the one that's not liked.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. And Ireland is the one that's like, oh, the little leprechauns, look at them lovely folk. Like,
God.
Not in Turkey.
Well, fuck you.
Not in fucking Turkey. So if you're looking to be worshipped as a god, come to Germany. If you're looking to be disrespected as an Englishman, go to Turkey.
The brass balls and then comes to be not friendly, what are you talking about? I know, honestly. I just screamed at them, told them fuck off, but still.
Yeah, but it's meant with love, because it comes from a place of hurt. It's like, how could you not like me? I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a big shock for me. Like, I've never known a country to actively dislike the Irish.
We say this as like we hate people from England. We don't, we actually don't.
So it's like as if Lizzie's whole family isn't fucking English. Like, but we don't hate everyone, just the bulk. It's the same. It's, you know, absolutely have tolerance for some English people.
Actually,
do
what?
No.
Like, honestly, I fought with more Irish lads over here.
Oh, I bet.
English boys.
Because there's nothing more fucking pompous as well than an Irish person who's left Ireland.
Oh my God, it's so true. It's so
right. Like, I think me and you are fairly fucking humble for people who've, like, left and established a life in a different country. We don't talk about it that much. But other people go away for, like, a month and they think they're the fucking, oh, I went backpacking for my gap year in Europe. They're those people. But just because they left Ireland and lived elsewhere for a few minutes.
Get over yourself, like.
It's bad.
Oh my God.
It's really bad. You'd swear there's no one as well-travelled or cultured as them. Yeah, so I'm not surprised that, like, you've had fucking scraps with Irish lads over there.
It's like they forget that, I don't know, like, their mannerisms. Like, they wouldn't dare act like this at home. So just because you're away from home, that doesn't mean you can start acting like that.
Absolutely not.
I guarantee I know someone that knows your man, but I'm Megan.
Yeah, just because we're in a different country does not mean I'm not prepared to give you a leather invite. Like, what?
Like, I remember, honestly, I'm just going to wind you up to the last one, because usually I get right. It's, usually happens when I'm on a night out and I have a little patience, as is, especially when I feel like people are attacking me for no fucking reason. I am going to get irate when I say this, because it genuinely drove me back, because I was minding my own business. Minding my own business. As I usually do, right? And obviously for people that don't know what I look like, I have dark hair, right? It's dark brown but looks black, okay? And I have a fringe, right? Full fringe, right? Tell me, I was minding my own fucking business. I was in one of the pubs, walking by one of the Irish bars, minding my business, right? Going looking for the girls after going to the bar. I hear someone say, oh, sure, look, isn't it Wednesday Adams? Right, usually if I was in somewhat good form, I can take a slag in. I can. I'm not taking a slacking for a fella who's in Dubai. One, as an Irishman, that's wearing bootleg jeans and a plaid shirt, right? Oh, honey. Absolutely fucking not, right? I swear to you, when I turned around and looked at it, oh my God, I was raging. And he just had this sneery fucking head on him as well. I was like, I am pissing mad. And I was like, you have annoyed me. I'm going to rip you a new arsehole. Who do you think you are? But he didn't even say anything that was that offensive. But he was sneering, is the point. It was like he was trying to do it out of banter and out of crack. He was sneering.
Yeah, like he had no reason. Mm-mm. To comment on you at all. You were just blowing past exactly. His peripheral. Like, why the fuck, like, did he feel the need to say out loud that he thinks you look like
which
Wednesday
was like, which is fine. It's the fact, if he would have had a bit of crack and a bit of fun behind it, oh, absolutely, like, you know, oh, slagging, a bit of like, ah, ha, ha, where are you from, right? There was a snarkiness to it, and like that, I am not taking that off a man who's wearing boot, like, fucking jeans. It's not happening.
Honestly. So. And a flat shirt in Dubai.
If he... It made me sick. Absolutely not. So I turned around to him and I was like, oh boy, isn't it Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, right? And he was like, oh, no, because it gets so much better. I was like, wait, wrong Cowboys, Brokeback Mountain. I was like, watch your fucking business, because there's nothing more than those type of lads that hate being called
the gay. It's literally, if you want to hurt an Irishman's feelings, call him gay.
He was mortified. And I was like, do you know what?
Oh.
It'll teach you now. Just because you're away from home.
Mind your manners.
Doesn't mean you can start acting out of fucking sorts, man, because you will be put in your place. I tell you now for writing.
Truly.
Oh my God.
You thought you could throw shade. Now look at you. 6 feet under in your shame. Fucking. Learn a lesson.
Oh my God. I was human. I was like,
keep your whore mouth shut. Oh. Like, honestly.
I was like, not on my fucking watch. Not the bootleg jeans.
Honestly.
It's just meant by someone wearing them. Absolutely not. I'm...
With the fucking cowboy boots, bitch. Disgusting. Okay, do you want to give us your happy story for day? And we'll wrap it up here. I'm already feeling so much better after. My story wasn't even really much of a story. It led us on to a fucking great tangent.
I don't even know what my point is at. We don't know. We just got lost in it. Anyway.
Listen, it's fine. A breakdown is expected.
My story. So, I run extremely cold like a corpse. As in, I am so cold-blooded. My hands and my feet are always freezing, right? They're always so cold. And because it's so hot over here, like, my kids are like, I don't know, all of them run warm, I'll say. But they'll heat up just, like, as quick. Do you know what I mean? So, like, they tend to overheat more than I would, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's like that my hands and feet are always freezing. And one of my kids, usually if there's like French or Arabic going on, you know, like that teacher comes in to do French and Arabic and I'll just, you know, be meandering. You know, I'll sit with them, you know, I'll do the lesson with them and stuff. But sometimes I'll sit on the table behind where their little chairs are. So like to where I'm sitting, their little faces are perfect hand height for me to just like wish their fat little cheeks, right? Like, so I'll sit behind them and then like put my hands on their face. But one of my like boys, he loves it because he overheats quite a lot. And because my hands are so cold, he will like actively seek out for me to like put my hands.
The ice pack of your hands.
I was like, oh, so cold, so cold. And one day, it's like, I'd say about 2-3 weeks ago, he asked me, he's like, why are your hands so cold? And like, it's hard to explain to a child, I definitely just have piss poor fucking blood circulation.
Circulation.
Yeah. And I was like, cold hands, warm heart is all I said, right? Is all I said. Mm-hmm. And then like that, every so often he'd come up and like grab my hand, squish him on his face. And we were in French last week. Well, I say last week. It was like on fucking Tuesday because it's now Saturday. And I sat behind him and he reached back to grab my hands and he put them on his face. And he was like, cold hands, warm heart. And I was like, I said, buddy, what did you say? And he told me again. I was like, I'm about the ball. My eyes out.
It stuck with him.
I was like, I love this child so much. So that was my cute little tidbit. Anyway, it's always adorable.
That is very adorable. Can I say how much that phrase fucked with me as a child? Because I thought it meant that I was a heartless bitch because I'm the opposite. I've really cold feet, but I get really sweaty hands. You've seen the extent, like same Jesus matter, creating water from nothing, my hands will just start pissing. So like I've always had really hot hands and I thought when I was younger because I had really hot hands that meant I had a cold heart. Yes. So I would literally just every time my hands overheated I wouldn't touch anyone in case they knew that I had a cold heart.
Oh, Savannah.
that phrase traumatized me as a child.
Yes.
So we'll hope for the love of God that none of your fucking kids are as already self-loathing at the age of fucking 5 as I was.
No, mine are little gems.
Just thinking back now, I'm just very much back in like second class days thinking about like having warm hands and Sister Mary. But yeah, aside from a very fun trip down memory lane and an absolute just crackheads worth of fucking tangents and sidetracks, we done did it. And that's about all that I'm willing to give this week. I'm out. I am spent. So we fair never picked something to do for the end of the episodes for season 3.
Fucking Christ. Do we just start fresh after we finish John Wayne Gacy? You can have a Scoot report if you so please.
That's fair. Yeah, I think we'll just stick with Scoots for this series just to get us through. And then we'll find something. We'll have a chat with Quiva. Quiva has nice crackhead ideas that she comes up with one singular thought and they're just suddenly gold.
Fair.
I feel like she'll succeed on this one where I am severely failing. But yeah, one of us is going to be back next week, given the story. I'm only saying one of us because Quiva hasn't been able to fit into our schedule for the last couple of weeks, so it's been mostly me and Lizzie who have suited to be able to record together. One of us will be back. If Quiva's available, it'll be Quiva. If not, it'll be myself or Liz. Once again, finishing off this fucking twatbag cunt face. So we wish you all the best. We will see you next week. And for today, since I am a superstar, home is where the tits are. Oh, that's the best one we've had so far. Oh, and always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our club.